Good evening, everybody. It's an all-new episode of Brain Stew Wrestling. We are live on BrainStewRadio.com on a special Thursday. And when I say special, I mean we just couldn't do the show yesterday, so we're live tonight. We are always live, interactive. If you want to get in touch with the show, the number is 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Or you can just tweet us at BSR Wrestling. We're live every Wednesday night, usually at 10 o'clock on BrainStewRadio.com. I am joined on Skype by one Mr. Michael Hipster Punchy does not have a car, Falcone. Punchy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And could not have picked a better song to enter the show with. I know this is a pro wrestling show, but let me just say this real quick. The greatest hip-hop album of all time.
I will
argue this to the day I die. I know you wouldn't expect us to be hip-hop guys here, at least with me. But man, the best hip-hop album of all time. Every single song is a classic.
You ever see the documentary on this album?
I did. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
I don't watch that many movies anymore. I'm just watching a lot of documentaries. I like a lot of music-themed documentaries, like biographies about famous albums, famous musicians. I like a lot of that stuff. My favorite, of course, being Sound City, about the famous recording studio out in Los Angeles, where you name it, in the 80s and 90s, it was recorded there. I love the one about Nas, The Time Is Illmatic. I love that. I loved, because I am a Dave Grohl mark, I love the Foo Fighters Sonic Highways limited show on HBO. Now that I just remembered my HBO Go password, I've been watching it again, and it's so good. Anyhow.
Also, the one thing I need to, one documentary I need to see, it's on Netflix now, is The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, which I've heard is fantastic.
I'll have to check it out. And I know we're a pro wrestling show, and believe me, there is lots to talk about. But if anyone knows any music documentaries, tweet at us. Or you could tweet me at Hams Gruber. Or if you want to argue with Punchy about how bad his Skype quality is, tweet him at Hipster Punchy.
Yeah, as he's typing go away.
All right, guys. So lead in story tonight. I went solo last week, Punch, and I feel bad that you were not here to either discuss or debate or agree with me. But last week's show, I was hyping on Brock Lesnar. Hyping on him, because I started last week's show saying Dana White needed to kiss Vince McMahon's foot for helping Brock Lesnar make UFC not shitty. And what happens? Well, to be honest, deep down, I knew it was coming. Brock Lesnar tests positive. We don't know specifically what it is, but people are saying in the MMA world that he was testing positive for the same estrogen blockers that John Jones was tested positive for. So, once again, top lead in story of the week is Brock Lesnar again, this time for a much more negative reason. Mike, what were your thoughts when you first heard of Brock Lesnar?
First thoughts were, fucking idiot.
Are we not surprised at this?
All right. So there's actually a story going around. I know we're going to talk about the draft later, but there's a rumor going around that the top two picks originally, when they thought of the draft, were supposed to be Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Well, what a rotten bit of luck that turned out to be.
Yeah. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. But so Brock Lesnar was supposed to be the first overall pick, and he failed his test with UFC. I mean, he went to Raw anyway, but he was supposed to go much, much sooner. And I think what made it, you could have said, all right, maybe he was taking something a supplement or something, or I heard rumors that there was a type of inhaler he uses that could ring up the test, which you can't say is the same when he fails it the day of.
Yeah, there's really not that much you could do here. Lesnar failed a performance Lesnar was caught by USADA not once, but twice, by the way. Let's just get this out of the way first. Let's just lay down what happened. Lesnar was tested by USADA, who are the organization that UFC hired to basically try to clean up the sport. And Lesnar not only failed the drug test leading up to UFC 200, but he failed the test that he took the day of.
Yep.
The day of the fight, he took a drug test, and he tested positive for the same estrogen blockers that Jon Jones took. So, call it what you will, Lesnar, I mean, court of public opinion is already going to say it, but we're just going to say it here. Lesnar was caught doing steroids. And really, are we not surprised? Hashtag allegedly caught using steroids. But let's be honest. And I know Lesnar came out and said, I'm just a jacked white boy, deal with it. But you look at every UFC fighter. Every single UFC fighter out there is lean. You could see some muscle tone, but they're mostly lean. Lesnar is gigantic human being.
Hey, let's give him the Alistair Overeem defense, where Alistair Overeem's like, Alistair Overeem was like, oh no, I just eat horse meat.
Brock Lesnar, man. Ooh.
And then after saying it was horse meat, he promptly failed a steroid test a few years ago.
So, the MMA world, and I crapped on a lot of MMA elitists last week. Boy, did I hear from the MMA elitist people when this came out. On Friday, a couple weeks ago, as soon as I heard that Lesnar failed the test, I'm like, oh boy. Oh boy. And then it came out that he failed his second test. So this is from RT.com. The UFC has confirmed that American Starfighter Brock Lesnar failed a second drug test on the night he beat Mark Hunt at UFC 200. The fight was very decisive, but now that he was caught doing steroids, again, hashtag allegedly, does it diminish his MMA legacy? B, will he ever fight again? And C, do we really care at this point? And we could discuss that third question a little bit more. But first question, Mike, does this ruin his MMA legacy?
I mean, no, because he tested positive after getting a short notice fight, like a last minute fight to add to UFC 200.
But remember, he was exempt from that 4-month rule. And we all know that he's doing things in WWE because, and we'll get to this in a second, WWE's wellness policy does not include part-time performers. Part-time performers are exempt. So Lesnar can do all the steroids he wants, allegedly, and still be under contract with WWE and still be able to perform. So we know he was, allegedly, taking supplements for PEDs, maybe HGH, maybe some other type of steroid. We know he was on something because the UFC's drug testing policy is far more strict than WWE. There are fighters popping up left and right because of USADA testing.
Yeah, there's like I kind of have it this way with this testing, like MLB, NBA, NH, like all their testings, then WWE, and then far above all of them, UFC's drug testing.
Oh yeah, UFC's drug testing is ridiculous. Again, I mean, it doesn't take much to just write down what you're taking and see what, and just call a doctor and see if it's okay to take. I don't know why people just don't do that, but...
Well, no, okay, so I've said this before, Brett, about Lesnar before. The problem with that is that pharmaceutical companies don't have to put everything they put in supplements. So a doctor might not know exactly what's in there.
Right, but my point is, if you're Jon Jones... You are a multimillionaire, one of the faces of UFC, and you're argued to be the top guy. And you have all these staff members around you. Why couldn't you just say, hey, find this out for me. What am I paying you for?
Hey, but to be fair, if you're Jon Jones, you also keep your nose away from the Coke.
That is true as well. Continuing on in the article, the iconic fighter is currently under contract with WWE and had not contested an MMA bout since December 2011 until his return to fighting earlier this month. Lesnar reportedly pocketed a record $2.5 million purse after his victory over Hunt on July 9th, which he won by unanimous decision. And not to mention, that's just his purse, Mike. We're not talking the percentage of the pay-per-view buys. We're not talking about the percentage of the advertising revenue. Lesnar walked away with a good $20 million. So it was good to be Brock Lesnar for UFC 200. And let's be honest here, Lesnar doesn't give a flying fuck about returning to fighting. He wanted a paycheck. He wanted to test himself. And he didn't care what he had to do. He just went and did it anyway. Because Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. Because he can get away with this.
Let's be honest, it was a good couple of days for Brock Lesnar returning to MMA.
But when this happened, the MMA world was lit ablaze because not only were MMA fans pissed because here comes a guy who essentially is a cheater, Mark Hunt was not that happy as well.
No, because that screws over Mark Hunt for a few reasons. Like, he lost a fight to a guy, and that fucks up his chances of getting a title shot anytime soon. Because I think Hunt was getting close to where he would be due a shot.
Yeah, he's on the tail. He's on the latter part of his career. Doesn't have that much time left, and he wholeheartedly deserves a title shot, as far as I'm concerned. But
I think the right thing to do, by the way, would be for since Lesnar failed the tests, especially on the day of, would be to make that fight a no contest. So that's not a loss on Hunt's record. Because, I mean, Lesnar failed tests before and the day of. He shouldn't. I mean, and that's if Mark Hunt doesn't make good on his promise to leave if he's not given all of Lesnar's purse for that fight.
Yeah, I didn't say this, but thank you for bringing this up. Mark Hunt was so pissed off at this story that he basically told UFC and Dana White, give me Lesnar's purse or I'm out. In layman's terms, that's what he's been saying. And yep. We don't know what he's going to do because none of us are Mark Hunt. But to be honest, I mean, how many big-name heavyweights are in the UFC? I mean, there are – Mark Hunt is – him and Cain Velasquez are two of the biggest guys in a division. That would be a devastating blow to the already decimated heavyweight division. But, I mean, I'm not an MMA analyst, so to be honest, I really don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. But looking at Mark, what Mark Hunt said, I don't blame him for being pissed off. But
Well, I mean, there's actually more than just that, because there's also been, who else? Junior Dos Santos is in that division, Alistair Overeem.
And Chad Mendez today. Yep. Was caught with a skin cream that that triggered a positive test back from USADA testing. Believe me, it is a madhouse what's going on with this. But the reason why I bring up Lesnar, and let's switch actually back to wrestling, what the show is. What does this say about the WWE? What does this say about WWE's wellness policy? What does it say about Lesnar's relationship with WWE? Because he was failed by a legit anti-doping agency, not WWE. Many athletic commissions consider WWE entertainment, not sport. So they really don't need to abide by a lot of regulations that professional sports need to abide by. So essentially, WWE can do whatever they want. And let's be honest here. Let's peel the curtain back a little more. WWE has a wellness policy and concussion policy because of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, respectively. So if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have this.
Okay, now, one thing about the wellness policy in regards to Brock Lesnar, it's hard to continue to test somebody when they're not working a full-time schedule.
Well, here's the thing. It's bullshit. I mean, I want to defend WWE here. I want to defend them, but their wellness policy is shit. I'm just going to say it right here. Their wellness policy is pure garbage. their wellness policy only applies to full-time wrestlers. There, it's right there on their on their on their corporate website. The people who are eligible for this are full-time workers, not part-timers. So Triple H, Taker, Rock, if he ever does another match, Lesnar, they can take as many supplements as they want and basically say, fuck the wellness policy, because they won't get in trouble for it. So that right there is the big one right out of the gate. And like we said a couple of weeks ago, Mike, the punishment for violating this is ridiculous. Look at Roman Reigns. Granted, he is one of the faces of the company. He is a main event player.
Well, was.
Mm-hmm. But his punishment is a non-paid vacation for a month away from the company. And when he comes back, he's in the main event on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's in the main event at Battleground on Sunday, fighting for the title.
To be fair, his punishment's going to extend past that 30 days. He's not going to get the guy push.
I sure as fuck hope not, because what you just said, Mike, is what I suggested a few weeks ago when we first talked about this, and that's if you get caught in WWE, which is a scripted entertainment show with athletic qualities to it, if you get caught by WWE violating their wellness policy, you lose your spot in the show. You have to build from the ground up and be like what Triple H did after the curtain call. He ate a lot of shit for that. Yeah. And if you violate the wellness policy, you get buried for a while. And then they build you back up, and you have to earn your place back in the show. That's just the way I think it should happen for a scripted entertainment show like professional wrestling.
Yeah, they should, but they won't with Reigns because, I mean... Actually, who knows? That... We don't know what's going to happen after the triple threat at Battleground. We're not going to know until after Battleground. They'd be stupid to have Reigns win the main event.
Yeah, Reigns winning the main event doesn't make a lot of sense.
Like, there would be dudes saying, fuck this, I'm out, if he ends up getting the title. So that's why I don't think he's winning the title.
Let's just say this. If you'll know how angry we are if Reigns wins a title on Sunday. We will be exclusively non-WWE-related talk for the next couple of weeks if Roman Reigns wins the title on Sunday. We will talk about every other federation except WWE.
If Roman Reigns wins the title, we're going to sound like Ted Cruz last night talking about WWE.
Oh, my God. Yeah, by the way, non-wrestling-related, we could actually shoot us in. Ted Cruz at the Republican National Convention, the greatest heel turn ever. I respect Cruz for sticking to his guns in long run for being like not agreeing with Trump, but regardless of what you guys believe out there, Ted Cruz came in and promised to endorse Trump on national stage, and Republicans of course were like, oh, this guy was campaigning against Trump for a while, oh yeah, get him on stage, and if he supports Trump, oh, that'll definitely unite the party, blah 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 blah. And Cruz comes out and just burns the bridge with everybody in the GOP. I was watching the video today, and you could not script a heel promo better than this. He was booed and eviscerated on Twitter by uptight conservatives, which was hilarious to watch. I loved it.
What I liked is he came out wearing the Austin 316 shirt, sat Indian style, and said, I have a lot of things on my mind.
Yes. He CM Punk'd the RNC. He didn't even CM Punk it. He just went on stage and just said what he normally said against Trump, except he just lied saying, yeah, I promise I'm not going to trash him. And he goes out and trashes him. The Republicans are stupid for trusting Ted Cruz in this.
Well, to be fair, do they really expect him to actually publicly endorse Trump after what Trump said about his wife and father?
Again, Trump is the high school bully that you want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
And for Cruz to be talked about like that by Trump and come in and just cut a promo like I've never seen before from the Republicans, it was fantastic to watch. Again, try to shoehorn this with wrestling references here, but my God, you want to see an epic promo and get serious heel heat? Watch Ted Cruz's speech at a Republican convention.
It felt like either when Seth Rollins turned his return promo around or when Jim Brewer quit the record store in half-baked. It was one of those two. By the way, to spin this whole topic into wrestling, Frankie Kazarian of Ring of Honor just tweeted, "I will say Trump can work the crowd. He's got the sheep eating out of the palm of his hands. These are grown-ups."
Yeah. Oof. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
But no, it was the best heel turn since Austin took the chair from McMahon.
And the sad thing is, it wasn't even a heel turn. He was already heel anti-Trump before the RNC. He just lied to the Republicans to get on stage and bash Trump some more.
It's like when Ric Flair was telling Singh he wasn't the Black Scorpion.
Yes. Oh, man.
It's like, come on, we know it's you, Rick.
We certainly knew it was. We certainly knew it was. Anyhow, so finishing thoughts on Brock Lesnar, and then we're going to break. What are your thoughts on the wellness policy for WWE? Should part-timers be held to the same standard as full-time workers if they're going to perform in WWE?
I mean, the problem with holding them to the same standard is, I mean, how are they going to do that? What, are they going to send a cup and then have them send it back to them? Like, Brock Lesnar lives in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota. He's like Mitch.
Canada.
Oh, Canada. Yeah. So he lives in Canada. Do you think they're going to have him, go to the same place, take a piss test that a security firm sends their prospective employees? So you see Brock Lesnar in the Canadian piss testing clinic with Jeff, who's 22 years old and applying for his armed security guard permit because he flunked out of police academy. Oh, I'm sorry, Mountie School. It's not going to happen. There's the only way they can get him to do that is at events.
By which he'll fail anyway.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying this as a fact. I just say from the looks of it, in my personal opinion, Brock Lesnar absolutely is a steroid induced freak. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying it as fact. That's just my opinion of what he looks like. He looks like a steroid freak.
Yeah. By the way, for those who want to know who in mixed martial arts are steroid users, aside from Alistair Overeem, because, I mean, let's be honest, he went from 205 to being a European Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And anybody from Brazil, pretty much. They don't, especially shoot a box.
That's a very blanket, stereotypical accusation, but sadly it's true.
Have you seen the metamorphosis of Wanderlei Silva's head? It was like a Pokemon evolution.
It was more obvious than Barry Bonds' head evolution.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, final question. Should WWE's wellness policy be altered to... Or at least punishment-wise. Or should WWE at least listen to USADA and punish Lesnar?
Yeah, but again, if they punish Lesnar, oh boy, that's not going to hurt Lesnar. He's part-time.
And he has more than enough fuck you money to not deal with WWE anymore.
And you think Vince is going to suspend him in time for SummerSlam? No. They'll wait till after SummerSlam, then suspend Lesnar. And then he comes back fresh as a daisy for WrestleMania season.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no way to make it work. Like Undertaker. Undertaker wrestles once or twice a year.
Well, apparently not anymore because many are saying WrestleMania 32, he said to people that he was done. But again, he said to people he was done before.
Yeah, he said that a few times. Like, he said it after the second match with Triple H. And then he's like, you know, let me work with CM Punk. And then after that, he's like, I feel fresh as a daisy. I'll wrestle Brock Lesnar.
You know who he is? Undertaker is the Brett Favre of WWE. Should have retired years ago, can still perform, and people still love him. Undertaker is the Brett Favre of professional wrestling.
The difference is Undertaker's not sending dick pics to ring rats.
Not that we know. Ring rats that especially follow you on Facebook and make widely crazy accusations about you.
Hey, I've got better ring rats following me on Twitter, so. There's actually one entertaining one who posted probably the funniest thing from draft night.
All right.
But no, you know, you get the one who looks like she'll burn your laundry and stalk you.
Well, kind of did.
I know.
We are going to go to break. When we come back, we are going to discuss the biggest story in pro wrestling this week. The WWE draft, the brand split, what is happening, who went where, what are our thoughts on it, and we have Battleground predictions to make here. So
yeah.
I just remembered that. Battlegrounds is Sunday. There's been so much going on, I don't even know what's going on this weekend. I just remembered there's a pay-per-view we need to talk about on Sunday. So this is Brain Stew Wrestling. We're going to come back real quick. Stay right there. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
I'm so happy, 'cause today found my friends.
Back live, Brain Stew Wrestling. Fucking Brock Lesnar.
Hey, breaking news, guys. They're actually making legit Bootios cereal.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
They really are?
They are.
So by that you mean WWE is licensing Cheerios and just repackaging it.
Hey, it's got marshmallows too.
Oh, nice. So Lucky Charms then.
Yeah, because it makes sure you ain't booty.
Nice. WWE Draft. First episode of SmackDown. I thought it was a great episode. I'm happy to see SmackDown's live again. I'm happy to see that we have a amazing general manager in one Daniel Bryan.
And Raw's general manager is Mick Foley, who's looking in pretty good shape.
I don't know, guys. I really don't know how to say anything else other than this looks awesome. I love the fact that that Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan are giving are being given new spotlights. New roles in the company. And here's Stephanie McMahon introduced saying Mick Foley. First off, let's listen to the pop that he got, because this was a genuine surprise. I was watching this, and I had no idea this was going to happen. So let's listen to the crowd reaction as Mick Foley was introduced as the Raw General Manager.
Of Monday Night Raw!
Wow! Oh-ho. The Hall of Famer, Mick Foley!
Smart move by WWE.
Yep.
Fans do not like Stephanie McMahon, so let's put a sure fan favorite on the on Monday Night Raw as the on-screen authority figure. Love it. I love the choice. Mike, what were your thoughts when you first saw this?
I actually was a fan of the choice, too. I mean, obviously, they're going to probably go with, like, will they work together, will they not type thing with that. But I see it as, like, I could see the story logic to it. That Stephanie picked someone who's had experience running WWE before because he was commissioner. Even if they don't go that route, she picked someone who's a crowd pleaser.
Well, again, I mean, they also had a temporary partnership with the Alliance back in 2001, so he certainly has experience there working with Stephanie.
And the other logic is if she makes a decision and goes out and says that decision, she might get booed. It might sound a little easier coming from Foley.
Yeah, because Foley is a natural on the mic. He can work with any type of crowd. He can get pops from any crowd. That's a very rare ability to have. Foley can get pops from anybody because all he's got to do is right here in this city, and he could do that. Boom, instant pop. So
he's got a very clever sense of humor.
Well, he is touring as a comic and a public speaker as well. So the guy can work a mic. And in retrospect, now that I think about this, I'm not surprised that WWE chose him, because him and his daughter Noelle's show, Holy Foley, is, I haven't seen it, but from what I hear from people who have watched it, it's really good, and it's like one of the most popular shows on the network.
I've also heard that his son works for WWE too.
So, I mean, put that together with the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, when you think about it, it's not really surprising that Mick Foley was chosen to be brought back on screen. But still, as someone who tries to not pay attention to dirt sheets and someone who tries to try to be surprised again with wrestling, watching Mick Foley come out was an awesome, awesome choice. Because I thought it was going to be Triple H. Because we haven't seen him since WrestleMania. And what this shows me is Triple H is concentrating on learning how to run the business behind the scenes and running NXT still.
Yep.
So in the long run, amazing move. And plus, Foley isn't doing anything. His kids are grown up. I'm sure Mrs. Foley is not minding that they're all earning a substantial income like they need it, though. And he gets to spend time with his kids. His daughter Noelle is with them as well most of the time, because they're grooming her to be either an on-screen reporter analysis or maybe possibly in the ring. We don't know.
Yeah.
Great move for Foley.
One thing that wasn't mentioned on the Raw end of things, Stephanie McMahon did mention too that on Raw they're bringing back the Cruiserweight division.
Yes, that's the biggest story. So now we know what they're going to do with the Cruiserweights in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yep.
WWE is grooming the Cruiserweight Classic and the Cruiserweight division to bring it back. Will we see the Cruiserweight title, though? Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
But Raw is 3 hours. SmackDown is only two. Why not have more talent on Raw and more things to do? I love the fact that Cruiserweights are being brought back and they're actually being called Cruiserweights instead of just, oh, he's just a smaller guy. They're the underdogs here. I love the fact that they're bringing back the Cruiserweight division. So, anyways,
that's something they can do with Enzo and Cass when they eventually split them up, or if they have them give them singles pushes, with Enzo being in the Cruiserweight division and Big Cass, like, getting a heavyweight push.
Which, by the way, I hope doesn't happen for a while. I am loving Enzo and Cass on TV. Please, WWE, please don't split them up. I'm begging you, please. Although, do not split them up.
There's also word that they might be trying to get Enzo to be a manager.
I mean, he is a smack talker Skywalker, so I mean, he can sure as hell talk on the mic better than a lot of people on the roster.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Anyhow, in the most predictable, worst kept secret, I can't talk. Worst kept secret for in the world of WWE, the SmackDown general manager was announced. I will let Shane deliver the news.
Who could I possibly think of? Who could be more popular and better than Mick Foley? Ladies and gentlemen.
More popular?
The SmackDown Live general manager.
That is huge. Huge.
Daniel Bryan is back on WWE TV.
And by the way, the loudness of that pop, that's the same type of pop you'll hear if CM Punk ever returned. That's the status Daniel Bryan's at. The difference is Daniel Bryan had his career taken away from him due to injuries.
You know, let's hear this again, because
it's
this pop was deafening to hear.
Yeah.
Oh! Oh!
That is huge.
What a pop for Daniel Bryan. He's off. He hasn't wrestled a match in over a year.
Yep.
He's made only maybe 3 or 4 appearances on WWE TV, and that's only for negative things. And
yeah,
he comes back as the on-screen face of SmackDown, and the crowd goes apeshit. This shows you how much of a draw Daniel Bryan always has been and always will be for WWE, and this just speaks volumes of how much he means to the fans when they erupt and do unanimous yes chants. I mean, look at the video, guys. I mean, for those of the benefit of watching the video podcast.
For those with the benefit of flash photography.
God damn it, I was going to say just that. The entire crowd on Raw went ballistic when when Bryan came out. Even though we all knew it was happening, we all knew it was a predictable angle.
That's
the crowd loves him.
Okay, that's kind of like AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. A lot of people knew it was going to happen. Everybody marked the fuck out.
Yeah. And Daniel Bryan has come out and said that it pains him to be involved in wrestling and not be a wrestler because he wants to still compete in the ring. But I got to respect him for still wanting to be involved with the business. I mean, we didn't know what he was going to do. But Daniel Bryan is one of those guys where wrestling's in his blood. Like, that's who he is. That's what he wants to do. And that's who he wants to be. So why not give him an on-screen role? And I'm sure WWE is compensating him tremendously and taking care of him. So, I mean, WWE recognized that Bryan is one of the biggest talents they've ever seen and probably ever will see. So why not give him opportunities to be on TV? He's going to draw viewers to watch SmackDown. Him and Shane McMahon are the perfect on-screen managerial couple for SmackDown Live, because you have Shane McMahon, who is obviously a fan favorite. You have Daniel Bryan, who is a humongous fan favorite. Smart, smart, smart move by WWE to put Shane and Daniel Bryan running SmackDown. What a surefire way to kick it off right.
And it kind of gives it that new era feel, because Shane's running it. Daniel Bryan's guy, who was like on screen and basically backstage for a while, was considered like not the traditional main eventer for WWE. Even less so than someone like a CM Punk or a back in the day, a Chris Benoit. Sorry, I had to say the name, guys.
Chris Benoit, or who is also known as Secret Unlockable Character.
Yes. Also, Eddie Guerrero, you know, like he's someone that like is the face of some what the new era. Like, people say CM Punk opened the door. Daniel Bryan paved the way for a lot of the people who are now stars in this company.
Right. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan paved the way for the people who were not really noticeable.
And yeah,
body type wise,
a lot of these guys who are in the indies, who are now part of WWE because of these two are now huge fixtures, like AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose are four examples. Just four examples.
Okay. We only have a little bit of time left here, but I'm pretty sure we don't mind going over a little bit after the hour mark here.
We've got a lot to talk about. I don't mind going over.
We do have a lot to talk about, so let's just get right to it. WWE Draft. The whole point, we've seen this build up for a while, from original rumor to announcement to build to delivery. The SmackDown live draft happened. SmackDown is live again on Tuesday nights on USA. Another program I must DVR now, because SmackDown's watchable. They're live. We can't just go on the internet and read spoilers, and it will not be the Monday Night Raw recap show. SmackDown is its own identity now. They kick things off with a draft, and right away, round number one pick for Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins. We knew this was going to happen.
He deserves it. He's been the best wrestler on the roster since Bryan retired.
Absolutely.
Like, they're best wrestler in every facet of the game. His mic work is among the best in the company.
And he deserves it. Look, we're not saying SmackDown isn't going to be the new lead show. SmackDown is still SmackDown. Monday Night Raw is still going to be the flagship program. So you need the top-tier talent on Monday Night Raw. You just need
now, them. I'm going to point something out. Like, when we go through the picks, I have a theory about how they constructed this. And I'll, as we go along with the picks, I'll explain it. But number one overall pick, Seth Rollins to Raw, not a shocker. Number two pick, a bit of a shock to me.
Yeah, this was a bit of a shocker. Number two, WWE Champion Dean Ambrose, first pick for SmackDown. Wow, we did not expect the WWE Champion to be drafted to SmackDown, which leads me to believe, Mike, flashback 10 years, Raw and SmackDown, when the last time they did this, WWE Champion was on SmackDown. They brought back the big gold belt, the World Heavyweight Championship for Raw, and that was the title. Not the WWE Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship.
You're forgetting one thing, though, too. He's facing two Raw guys in the title match at the pay-per-view.
Right.
They could so that might go to one of them, Rollins, but...
You're right. It very, very well could be. We don't know what's going to happen on Battleground, but man, am I excited to watch this main event now. With the third pick in the round one, Women's Champion Charlotte drafted by Monday Night Raw.
This came as a bit of a surprise to me, but I guess, you know, since SmackDown drafted the top men's champion, Raw took the top women's champion, and Stephanie's running Raw, so the kind of like the you know, like she's ushering in the Divas Revolution, all, you know, and that's her baby, so I could see that it's less surprising to me now than it was on Tuesday.
With the fourth pick, SmackDown drafts, and this was a huge pick for me, at least, AJ Styles on SmackDown. Wow.
Yeah.
You not only have Dean Ambrose, current WWE champion, but now you have AJ Styles, probably, arguably, the biggest free agent signing your company has ever had, and you're putting him on the B show. And I'm sure when AJ first signed, he was told that this would happen to him. But my God, wow, AJ Styles is going to be on SmackDown. That is a beautiful reason to watch.
And here's the thing, though. He's going to be one of the main guys on SmackDown.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they brought him in, and he AJ's old school like that, and he knows that he's in the final years of his career. He is going to work with the young talent on SmackDown, build them up, put them over, do the right thing, and earn enough money to secure him and his family's future for the rest of their lives.
He might be there longer than you expect. Remember, when he signed, the initial plan was for him to come in, have like a main event feud with Reigns to kind of give credibility to Reigns as champion. But his merch sales were so high and the reactions he's getting were so big and just his work in ring and on mic were so impressive. Vince now sees him as a main guy.
You'd be stupid not to. I mean, we knock on Vince McMahon's decision making the past couple of years, but WWE would not be at the place it is right now without Vince McMahon. Yeah. And Vince McMahon is a genius. We have to acknowledge his genius, even though the past few years he has not made the smartest of decisions or pushed the right people. Vince knows what he's doing still. Yeah.
By the way, AJ Styles, the creator of one of the best recent hashtag trends for WWE,
#BeatUpJohnCena. With the fifth and final pick of round number one, the first NXT call-up, Finn Balor to Monday Night Raw. Wow. We knew this was coming eventually, and to be honest, our fantasy booking saw Balor either come with the Bullet Club or interfere with the Styles-Cena feud. Well, Finn Balor drafted to Monday Night Raw, fifth and final pick of round number one.
By the way, it should be noticed, there's an Instagram picture that Finn Balor posted, like a portrait from a fan, that shows him, Anderson Gallows, and Styles standing over a fallen John Cena.
Oh, shit. You think full-on Bullet Club's happening?
Either that or Balor's fucking with the fans.
Well, looking at the rest of the picks, I'm thinking the latter at this point.
We'll see. But all right, so they did that.
Round number
match.
Two. We're not going to analyze every single pick. Maybe the first three rounds we might do, and then we'll just read them off. Round number two, sixth overall pick, Monday Night Raw, drafts Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, they need to get a Vince guy there, let's be honest. Even with the suspension, Reigns is a name, and a younger name, and I kind of feel like Raw is going the younger direction with this draft because they can afford to because they're known as the A show, so they can take a few more chances. Whereas with the next pick, John Cena to SmackDown, they want SmackDown to get a higher profile. They're doing the same thing with SmackDown that they did with the U.S. title and are putting some of the bigger name, maybe more experienced guys on SmackDown to give it that rub.
Right. I completely agree. So far, so good for SmackDown. Again, you have Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon as the on-screen managerial roles, which fans love. You draft Dean Ambrose with your first round pick, fan favorite. You have AJ Styles, fan favorite. You have John Cena, the face of your company for the past 10 years.
Yep.
So far, SmackDown's killing it in the draft.
Yeah. Now, with pick number 8, which went to Raw, they decided it wasn't enough to have one guy who recently violated a drug test. They decided to pick a second guy in Brock Lesnar.
The alleged steroid monsters are on Monday Night Raw.
Yep. Now, the next pick, I guess they're going, we have the string of part-timers, Randy Orton going to SmackDown Live.
I like it. I mean, he's a high-profile return. Why not bring him to SmackDown?
Now, I want to point out at this point, Raw is leading when it comes to like new era type people.
Yeah,
drafted. Like they've like gotten the more young and in better in-ring workers. And then after the Randy Orton pick, Raw takes New Day.
I mean, you know what this shows me? Peeling back the curtain, Vince trusts the New Day.
Yeah.
He trusts them completely.
Well, because New Day works. Sorry.
Oh, no, you got to do it. You got to do it when you do it. Round number three, 11th overall pick, Sami Zayn.
Now, I want to point out what preceded this pick was my least favorite part of SmackDown when they had Kane basically chokeslam both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I saw that as a weak move to do to two of their like newer and more popular guys. I did not like that they did that to Zayn and Owens.
I did not like it.
I didn't like it at all. Like I don't think it hurt them, but it could have hurt them as far as credibility goes. That they just went out like that to Kane.
12th overall pick, Bray Wyatt to SmackDown.
Yep. Again, another guy who can do promos. He can be a face. He can feud with your top guys. Like, he can feud with Ambrose if Ambrose keeps the title and make it a decent title feud.
I'm very quickly reading these off, and we could have quick thoughts because there's a lot of them. 13th overall pick, Sasha Banks, Monday Night Raw.
I'm a fan. Again, she's beating Charlotte at SummerSlam for that title. That's my prediction.
And of course, you have the number one contender and the most popular female wrestler, and you have the women's championship. Easy booking decision there. 14, yeah. Becky Lynch to SmackDown. Kind of sort of a fan favorite. She's pretty popular, and she'll definitely be the head diva over at SmackDown for sure.
Yeah, she can thrive there because it's going to be a logjam on Raw.
15, Chris Jericho to Monday Night Raw. I mean, he's a legend, veteran. He's earned his spot whenever he wants, and why not put him on the big show with the big talent, the big names? Give Jericho his due until he calls it quits. I have no problem with this.
And that's right, Raw fans, you're not losing these stupid idiot promos.
And you get to the gift of Jericho. What is it?
Drink the gift of Jericho.
There it is. Drink the gift of Jericho. I'm an idiot. Round
Take
number
it
four,
in, man.
Oh, I love it. Round number four, 16th pick, United States champion Rusev, Monday Night Raw.
Yep. Now,
it seems like Monday Night Raw has all the champions.
And don't forget, they're getting the cruiserweight, so that'll be another championship.
So now I'm starting to see a problem with this because SmackDown has great talent on it, but they don't have the champions.
Well, they got the world champion. Well, but then they draft the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz. Now, something interesting to note, and you will say this as the draft goes on, Rusev is facing a SmackDown guy, and Miz is facing a Raw guy. So there's a chance that those titles could flip to the other shows.
They very well could be. 18, I'm very happy for this. Kevin Owens sticking on Raw, which means, what did we say a few weeks ago, Mike? This isn't the last time him and Sami Zayn are going to go at it.
And Kevin Owens was not pleased, though, with where he was picked. And actually, before round three started, Kevin Owens came out because he was supposed to face Kane and was, like, screaming at both shows for him not being drafted yet.
I do have that clip if you want.
Wait, before that or the after getting drafted, him going to the studio?
Kevin Owens interrupts the WWE Draft Central panel.
Yes. Yes,
Kevin,
for those who...
Kevin, welcome.
Hello, Kevin.
Oh, it's good to
here,
see
you want
to
see
guys notice. No, please. No, please.
Welcome.
Okay, all right.
Oh, thank you. It's good to see that you guys actually noticed I was here because you guys almost missed when I was.
By the way, Lita looks stunning.
Yeah.
I'm just going to point that out there. Lita looks absolutely stunning.
All right.
Oh, thank you. It's good to see that you guys actually noticed I was here because you guys almost missed when I was picked because you guys were blabbing about stuff that doesn't matter.
I think we were talking about Sami Zayn.
Oh, cool. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We follow Renee.
Don't you just love Sami? You know what?
He's great.
Yeah. I don't like your tone.
Oh.
I actually don't like a lot about tonight. Because you see, people think that I'm pissed about Sami Zayn getting picked first, but that's not just it. See, to me, the fact that people like Rusev, The Miz, AJ Styles got picked before me is a giant joke. Booker T, I think you can respect that, right?
I can respect
it. I have a lot of self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And I actually think I'm the best thing going in WWE. But you know what? I'm not delusional. I get why they'd pick John Cena or Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or even Dean Ambrose first. I get it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that those other guys, especially Sami Zayn, were picked before me, that's absolute disrespect. And Renee, I don't know why you're looking at me like that with that little smirk. I don't know if you think this is funny, but I'm certainly in no mood to laugh.
I
got this nice little Raw shirt. You know what? Pick me faster. Then I'll wear your little Raw shirt. You know what? Raw is about to become the Kevin Owens show, and that's all that matters.
Hey, I mean, does it really matter, you know, if you got, you know, pick one? If you feel like you're the best.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore, Booker. You're right.
You're going to go out there and prove it, right?
I will prove it. Trust me.
So there you go. Kevin Owens being Kevin Owens.
Yep. Holy crap.
And people, like, ask the stupid question, why do we love Kevin Owens so much? Well.
That's why.
That's why.
He does everything right.
19 with the first who really gives a shit pick, Baron Corbin to SmackDown Live.
And then Raw gets Enzo and Big Cass after that, which everyone was happy because that means they weren't being split up right away.
Yes, thank Christ for that. Here's the first big split up. Gallows and Anderson on Raw. AJ Styles and the club no longer together, which means now that they have Finn Balor, we could have the Balor Club come in.
Oh, man. I mean, so that means Ken Anderson takes his hashtag hot Asian wife references to Raw.
Yep.
But, I mean, listen, they're going to put the tag titles on Raw. So, I mean, they need to have a beefed up tag division.
Yes, I agree.
What's funny is you see Shane ripping up cards afterwards. And then he picks the next pick from NXT, American Alpha, who are fantastic and are going to be over as hell with the crowd.
And then 23, wait, again.
But before you go to 23, though, American Alpha had a huge pop when they were picked. And Kevin Owens actually had a pretty good pop, too.
23, again, another who gives a shit pick, The Big Show, drafted by Monday Night Raw. Really, why is The Big Show even being mentioned? I love The Big Show as a person. I respect his career. I respect his accomplishments, but why is he still being profiled as, I mean, let's think off the top of our heads of how many people that should have been picked before him, or at least profiled before him. And
yeah,
why? That's just what I want to know. Why is The Big Show even being mentioned?
Now let's point this out too. A couple names that hadn't been picked yet to this point. Cesaro, for example, wasn't picked. Paige, who's a bigger name in the Divas division. Any other NXT picks, bigger names in NXT, all of whom should have been picked before The Big Show. And so after The Big Show is another what I'm going to call a very over, very good in ring, but somewhat irrelevant pick, or maybe a guy who can thrive a little more on one show, is Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, goody. Him and Baron Corbin can continue their useless feud now on SmackDown Live.
Oh, I can't wait for that 10th.
Yes.
Next NXT pick. Not Bayley. Nia Jax. Going to Raw.
Well, the rumor is Bayley's going to be called up any day now. So, I mean, any day now. It's been said for almost a year now. So, I guess any day now will come to fruition when we see Bayley on the main roster.
What's funny though is there's a Twitter exchange between Bayley and Nia Jax. Bayley tweeted something to the effect of "Bye Nia Jax, hello Asuka," because their match was televised this week, and Nia Jax responded, "Yeah, goodbye, go right to Raw." To which Bayley responded, "That's cool and all, but I'll be on NXT trying to win the NXT Women's Title for a second time, something you haven't done once."
Yeah.
So that's round five. Again, at this point, Neville not picked yet, Cesaro not picked yet. We even throw in Alberto Del Rio, who hasn't been picked yet. And we're going to round six, which is the last of the televised picks.
Well, it's funny you mention all those guys, Michael, because round six, we had all of them picked. 26 to Monday Night Raw is Neville. 27 is Natalya to SmackDown. Cesaro at 28. Let's just discuss this for a second.
Okay, so first off, Cesaro going that low, at that pick, is a slap in the face if you look at who was some of the people drafted before him. This is a guy who should be a main eventer. Granted, he helps make Raw the wrestling show. Look at all the pure wrestlers that are on this show. It's gonna the matches on Raw are gonna be amazing. It's gonna be what everyone thought SmackDown was gonna be. Now
we have a little clip here with Cesaro. This was an interesting promo that was just put up on the WWE's YouTube. From what we know, this was a unscripted shoot promo that WWE just filmed. And, well, Cesaro had a little bit of a Swiss pipe bomb.
Now, to preface this, too, this is like the Draft Central stuff where they don't really overly script. It's not an in-ring promo or backstage where it's very, micromanaged.
Right.
This is much more organic. Maybe if it's not a shoot, maybe they gave him a few bullet points. But if you listen to some of the stuff said, these are they're legitimate frustrations, and he kind of echoes the sentiment of a lot of fans too.
Here we go. Well, let's let Cesaro speak for himself here. Here we go.
Cesaro, you were drafted in the sixth round to Raw. How are you feeling about all of this?
Well, first of all, not too happy to be drafted. You know, was it 17th in the sixth round? I have a feeling that I should be drafted a little bit higher. I was hoping to be at least top 10. And then, you know, just looking at the rosters and what the GMs talked about yesterday, how SmackDown is going to be the wrestling show and, you know, all about in-ring product and, you know, all about the superstars and not necessarily about the, you know, the GMs and that whole drama. I feel like I would have probably been a better fit for SmackDown, but just like in my career so far here, I think there's always, you know, a little stumble block and whatever I have to overcome. So, you know, I'm looking forward to be on the flagship product. That's trying to see the positive, being on the flagship product, WWE Raw, and, you know, that's where Cesaro belongs.
Well, speaking of GMs, how do you think that the Raw general manager, Mick Foley, and Stephanie McMahon being the commissioner, how do you think they'll coexist?
Honestly, that's part of the problem that you just asked me that question, because I don't really care. I think Raw going forward needs to be about the superstars. It needs to be about the performers in the ring and not about how Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley coexist. They need to be there to mediate and make the best show. But that does not need to be the focus. So the focus needs to be on the superstar who got drafted. You know, we have Seth Rollins, we have New Day, we have Finn Balor coming up from NXT. Those are the people we should be here talking about, but we're talking about Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley, which is annoying to me because a lot of people talk a lot, you know. It's always a lot of talking. And you haven't heard me talk that much. It's actually great. I can be here and able to talk, and people can see I can actually speak. You know, my brain can form thoughts that come out through my mouth. Problem is, sometimes I stumble words because I speak five different languages. We know all that.
What a smoke thing to say, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, if we didn't know that Cesaro was a bit of a smug then, we sure as hell know now.
And that was Kevin Owens level smug.
Let's finish up here. There's only a couple seconds left.
Different languages. We know all that. So the thing is, I like to speak the language that everybody speaks all around the world. WWE Universe loves. That's the language of wrestling that I do in the ring. That's what I do best. That's why I always deliver. Cesaro and Raw.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, like a little bit of a
Swiss pipe bomb there.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people are responding that was like a shoot.
Oh, it absolutely was. And you can see Sasha Banks tweeted, like, "You're speaking my language. Applause, applause, applause." Man, Cesaro must have... If we see Cesaro get mistreated again, well, now we know why.
If he gets mistreated again, though, the crowd is going to form a mutiny. But he does not deserve any backlash for that, because, A, that he just showed that it's not his ability to do a promo that's the issue. It's their overly scripted promos that are the issue.
Right. Absolutely. After Cesaro closing out the televised rounds, Alberto Del Rio on SmackDown and Sheamus on Monday Night Raw. Do we care about any of these picks?
Not really.
I really don't care. I haven't cared about Sheamus in years. And Del Rio, well, now we know where Paige is probably going to go. And here we go. We're just going to breeze through the last couple of rounds here. Because there's a lot of them. I want a list where everyone went. And so we're all on the same page here with you guys.
We'll just quickly go through this. Round 7, Golden Truth to Raw, Usos to SmackDown. Titus O'Neil to Raw, Demon Kane to SmackDown,
and Paige. Wow, boy, was I wrong just a minute ago. Paige drafted to Raw.
No, yeah, they split up some real life couples because I think Dana Brooke went to Raw and her and Ziggler are a thing.
But why would they try to split up a couple in real life?
For distraction purposes, I guess. I don't know. But round 8, Darren Young to Raw, Kalisto to SmackDown. Sin Cara to Raw, Naomi to SmackDown, Jack Swagger to Raw, and the Ascension to SmackDown, where they'll still be irrelevant. Round 9, the Dudleys to Raw, Zack Ryder to SmackDown, Summer Rae to Raw, Apollo Crews to SmackDown, Mark Henry to Raw, and Alexa Bliss, the next NXT pick, going to SmackDown.
Again, Mark Henry is another one where I'm like, I respect the guy. I respect his longevity in the business. I love the dedication he has behind the scenes. And just like the Big Show, Mark Henry is a great guy to talk to. But why in the, to quote The Rock here, why the blue hell is he still relevant in today's WWE scene?
Well, to be fair, he's a low pick, so it's not like... But here's the thing. What I want to point out, for those who are following my live tweeting Tuesday, I called Alexa Bliss getting drafted. And Hemi's going to have a new favorite female wrestler on SmackDown.
I think you're implying that I'm going to find her immensely attractive. So let me just Alexa Bliss.
You don't. Okay.
I'm good with names and faces, but I'm not good with names and faces. Oh, hello. Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty. I'm not going to deny that.
Hammy's girl, if you're listening, he may have dumped the toddler.
Dude. Don't it, like, you're making it sound. Do you know how bad you just worded that?
That I know.
Now I got to explain myself. It's known that I am very fond of Paige, who is only what, 23 years old, and I'm turning 30. So the joke is, I'm Jerry the King Lawler when it comes to my women.
Hand me the Queen Lawler.
Oh, really? You have to go with the Queen? Okay.
Well, the King's already taken, and you're not a prince.
Meh.
Plus, there's video out there of you in makeup.
Yes, there is. All right, final rounds here. Round 10, Braun Strowman to Raw. They broke up the Wyatt family.
They kind of did. And, again, this another big guy. He'll probably get, like, I don't, maybe they'll cap him with his current character, or maybe they'll let him be a big goofball like he is in real life.
Oh, God, he looks like Eugene if Eugene had steroids.
Now, with their breaking up the Wyatt family, they need to have Luke Harper just get repackaged.
Yep.
Give him, like, a Bruiser Brody type gimmick, like something like that. With someone maybe like a JBL as his manager, like an old school just.
Here we go.
One of my favorite tag teams right now, Breezango.
Yes, they're one of my favorites as well. I love their chemistry. Even though they are comical jobbers, I love them.
No, you know what though? They could get over enough where they get a push. And this teaming is probably save them from eventual releases.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Bo Dallas, Monday Night Raw. Okay.
Because you need to believe.
I do believe. I was so over on that gimmick. I love it. And 51, man, SmackDown's about to have a new favorite person to hate on the roster. Eva Marie drafted to SmackDown Live.
She's going to make John Cena like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Shining Stars, Monday Night Raw. The Vaudevillains on SmackDown.
SmackDown got manlier.
Uh-huh.
Round 11.
And the final round.
Yep. Alicia Fox to Raw. Eric Rowan to SmackDown. So maybe they didn't break up the Wyatt family.
They just removed Braun Strowman from it. Dana Brooke on Raw. Mojo Rawley, SmackDown Live from NXT. Curtis Axel on Raw. And Carmella, SmackDown Live from NXT. Those are your final draft picks.
Now, that's another one, because Carmella in real life is dating Big Cass. So they've got them on different shows now.
What is it with WWE and wanting to break up real-life couples?
The only real-life couples that weren't broken up yet because of this draft were Rusev and Lana.
Well, because they're getting married, and I guess, I don't know why.
By the way, Lana's a manager, and like, yeah, they're already known to be engaged, but it's already public knowledge that Carmella's with Big Cass. It was actually spotlighted on their Breaking Ground series. But I kind of find it funny, three couples in that company are split up now, like as far as on the road. so they can't travel together?
This is weird. Undrafted at the bottom, Heath Slater.
They're going to do some sort of angle about that with Heath Slater. Like, I feel like he's eventually just going to go to Raw and we have the social act, but they're going to have him probably wrestle a couple of Evolve shows to play the I'm a free agent gimmick.
Right.
Before he go, I think they're going to do. There's a reason he's listed as undrafted. Like, there's a reason he's not
there,
on a show.
Oh, there has to be a reason. Okay, so final analysis of the draft. Who do you think was the biggest surprise pick? What in your opinion was the biggest? Oh, I didn't expect him to go there. Pick. What was your biggest surprise pick?
I have a couple because I didn't expect Finn Balor to be drafted as quickly as he was to Raw. I didn't expect the way the draft played out. A lot of the guys who I thought were going to go to SmackDown ended up going to Raw. SmackDown's always been considered the wrestling show. I thought guys like Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, for example, were candidates to go to Raw. Or SmackDown, I mean. And they ended up going to Raw.
I'll tell you this. I did not expect AJ Styles to go to SmackDown. That is my surprise pick. I knew there were going to be some shocking changes, but I did not expect AJ Styles to go to SmackDown because, like I said earlier, huge free agent signing, and I assumed he was going to get the golden treatment, always be on Raw, always in big shows on pay-per-views. But AJ Styles to SmackDown? Wow.
But here's the thing, though.
Wow.
He was the second guy picked for SmackDown. You're taking him going to SmackDown as a demotion, but he was the second guy drafted to SmackDown.
That's true, but we're treating a draft as like a real legit NFL draft here. We know that WWE did this draft as well as all the other drafts they've had in the past to move talent elsewhere and have talent be presented on another program to try to vamp up viewerships. We all know this is why they're doing it.
I did not expect
Styles to go to SmackDown. No,
SmackDown beat Raw in the ratings this week.
Oh, really? It did? I did not know that.
Yeah. So and now you've got some interesting stuff too. For example, what are they going to do? They have some stories here. You can have Kevin Owens having a chip on his shoulder because he was drafted as low as he was.
Yeah.
Especially post Sami Zayn match on Battleground. You can have maybe something where Stephanie tries to stick it to Cesaro, and maybe this is how he gets his push and the fan sympathy because of his comments at the draft center. What Finn Balor and Gallows and Anderson, what would happen with them? Do they do like the same stuff with him and they do with AJ? Do they have him align with them? Do they have him not align with them?
We had our surprise picks. What are our disappointing picks?
Ooh.
Like, what pick made you go, oh, why? Like, really? That doesn't make sense to me. I can tell you mine, and that's Bray Wyatt to SmackDown. Why? Because I thought they were going to eventually move the whole Wyatt family over, but they broke up Braun Strowman, and as the Wyatt family just came back in full force and feuded with New Day, I thought they were going to really push the Wyatt family as a faction. But now you removed the big gun in the Wyatt family by putting Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. That to me is a disappointing pick. Even though I know Bray Wyatt's going to be fine, I hope. That's just my disappointing pick.
They split them up because that was Vince's punishment for them because he thought they were going to have drones, one of which is named Vanguard 1 for that segment with New Day.
Well,
we can't say broken Bray Wyatt, who now has dreadlocks like Jonathan Davis from Korn.
Brother Nero.
And you know what? Bray could probably deliver that type of a promo too.
Are you kidding me? He absolutely can.
Brother Cena! By the way, my favorite status that I made this week, because that guy from Breitbart, Milo Yiannopoulos, his Twitter name is Nero. I was like, the only Nero I care about that was deleted something like, you know, saying that Brother Nero is one that I care about more than the actual Nero.
That is a very clever and very mean-spirited post. That was good. Okay, here's a big thing. Who do you think is going to make the bigger impact with their move?
Oh, between who? Like anyone in particular or?
Yeah, now that they're on another show, now that they were moved over to SmackDown or moved over to Raw, who do you think is going to have the bigger impact?
All right, for SmackDown, it's going to be AJ Styles.
Completely agreed.
He's gonna thrive. He's gonna be a main event guy there. He might even have a title run on SmackDown because I think they're gonna have two world titles. As for Raw, I honestly think Kevin Owens, because like you know what you're gonna get with Seth Rollins. You know he's gonna be the top guy there. Yes. You know what you're gonna get with a lot of those top picks. But I think Kevin Owens is going to take what they've given him and run with it. To the point where he's even more popular than he is. I mean, he gets among the biggest pops every show he's on.
I completely agree. I cannot agree more. AJ Styles is going to be the biggest impact of all of the moves. Who do you think is going to drop the ball with their big profile move?
Ooh.
As in, like, they're not going to carry the show. Or they're not going to make as much of an impact.
I mean, I'm looking at this. I mean, for each show, I mean, I want to say Baron Corbin because I think they want to make him bigger than he is. But I'm going to go with, I mean, Brock Lesnar was drafted pretty high for a part-timer. So I'm going to say Brock Lesnar for Raw based on the fact that he's not going to be on TV most of the year.
Go ahead, Mike.
As for SmackDown, I think Orton's going to shift to a very part-time schedule. So I don't think he's going to make the impact one would think he would.
My picks, Randy Orton for SmackDown, for the reasons why you just said, as well as, I mean, with how long he's been out, I think, I mean, and I could be totally wrong. We'll see what his reactions are at Battleground, but I think people are just about done or over Randy Orton completely. So I think he'll just be like, oh, okay, he's just there. He'll just be underwhelming. So that's my pick for SmackDown. For Raw? Oof.
Oh, and with the Lesnar thing too, I want to point out, and Rich in Arizona reminded me of this on the Brains to Wrestling site, Facebook. Unless things change, Paul Heyman's contract expired, so if they don't redo the contract, and again, maybe they're waiting for when Lesnar's about to come back to give him a new contract because there's no rush, but if they don't re-sign Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar now is going to have to do promos.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're right.
That's
you're right.
That's not going to work out for Brock Lesnar.
The competent, you need Paul Heyman. You need Paul Heyman to be the mic piece for Lesnar.
Yeah, so that's another reason why Brock Lesnar could fail.
Because here's the thing. I'm more intimidated by Brock Lesnar in scripted WWE with Paul Heyman speaking for him than I am of Lesnar speaking for real fighting in the UFC, which is real fighting. I'm more intimidated by the fake show than the real fighter.
I want to point out, too, with SmackDown, apparently, there's two guys who were former WWE guys who are going to be re-signed for SmackDown. That's going to include Curt Hawkins and Rhino. So we're going to see those guys in SmackDown too. Apparently,
I don't know who my underwhelming Raw pick is going to be. You're not going to like it, but I have a very funny feeling that either Cesaro or Jericho is going to underwhelm on Raw.
I think it'll be Jericho because, again, I think they're going to do, like, Cesaro's not going to underwhelm in ring.
Definitely not in the ring. I'm not saying in the ring. I'm just saying overall package. I think Cesaro's just going to be right where he is, and he's not going to move up. So for that, I'm picking Cesaro. I'm still going to enjoy his matches. I'm still going to enjoy who he wrestles with. I just think that he's just not going to be a high-profile talent on Raw. So for that, Cesaro is my pick for Raw for at least for most underwhelming talent. Now, the biggest pick, and then we'll move on to Battleground predictions to close out the show, but what is the pick of the night for both Raw and SmackDown? Who had the best pick?
Raw had the best overall pick by taking Seth Rollins. I know it's the first pick. I know it's kind of like a weird thing, but they had the best overall pick. That's how good Seth of a pick Seth Rollins is.
I would say AJ Styles for SmackDown.
Well, no, I was going to do, I'm doing both shows, so.
Oh, no, I am. I'm saying for SmackDown because I agree with you for Raw. For my pick for SmackDown is AJ.
Yeah. Again, AJ, they picked the main eventer.
So, there you go, guys. That is our analysis and thoughts on the WWE draft special. And we're going to close out tonight's show with the Battleground 2016 predictions. Now, the way this works is I'm going to list the matches just the way that in order that they're listed on WWE.com. We are going to give our thoughts on the matches and in the end, just give our predictions. So, the first match on the card, Sasha Banks and a partner to be named versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Now, just booking-wise going into this, I'm already picking Charlotte and Dana Brooke to win because that gives Sasha the more fuel to win the title at SummerSlam next month. We all know that's what's going to happen. So, who's the mystery partner going to be?
I mean, part of me wants to go with the popular pick, which is Bayley. But I think they go. Obviously, it's not going to be Becky Lynch and Natalya because they've got their own match. I'm going to guess maybe a returning Naomi for the match, you know, the whole team bad thing, to, you know, kind of for one night. And I think Sasha and her partner win, and that's how Sasha gets her shot at the title. Like, Sasha pins or taps Charlotte, and that's how she gets her title shot.
Okay, fair enough. Next match on the card is, let it load here, The New Day versus the Wyatt family. The last time we will ever see the Wyatt family as a threesome because Bray Wyatt will now be on SmackDown and Braun Strowman will be on Monday Night Raw. Mike, your thoughts?
New Day. I mean, they're the team that's going to stay together in this. So it makes no sense to have them lose to a team that's breaking up.
I agree. I hate the fact that the Wyatt family is going to lose another pay-per-view match because, I mean, Bray Wyatt's my dude right now. He's my favorite guy in WWE. But for once a Wyatt family loss makes the most sense to me.
Yeah. Now. Next match. Yeah, so we're both saying New Day, pretty much. Because I mean,
I am indeed agreeing with you with the New Day going over here.
All right, next match. You've got Rusev versus Zack Ryder for the U.S. title.
I mean, Zack Ryder had his WrestleMania moment. I mean, good for him, but he's not beating Rusev.
I mean, they're giving Ryder a bit of a push. The only way I think Rusev wins, but if Zack Ryder wins, the only way I see that happening is if they also pull the trigger on Darren Young winning the Intercontinental title.
Right.
Which they could do, just because right now people think the Intercontinental and U.S. titles are going to be on, you know, SmackDown and Raw, respectively. That could be a way they mess with people and switch those titles.
So who do you think is going to win here then?
I want to go with Ryder and Young for those two matches, but I'm going to go with Rusev and Miz for those two matches.
I don't see Zack Ryder pulling this out here.
Again, though, if Zack Ryder wins, so is Darren Young.
If Zack Ryder wins, I'll be extremely happy.
Yeah.
All right, and I do agree with you. If Ryder wins, Darren Young wins, so The next match officially on the card is Intercontinental Championship, The Miz versus Darren Young. We kind of just booked these two matches just a minute ago.
Yeah, those two matches, I think, are attached to the hip when it comes to...
Yeah, I agree. I think if one champion wins, the other one wins. If one challenger wins, the other challenger wins.
Yeah.
So there we go with that one.
Or they could mess with us and have Ryder win and Miz retain because of all the titles that are going to be on Raw.
You never know. We still know what's going to happen in the main event. Next match on the card. Becky Lynch versus Natalya. First off, I love the fact that Natalya is actually getting matches now.
And getting a feud that's actually being somewhat fleshed out.
Exactly. I like this. Natalya with a random heel turn attacks Becky Lynch, and I hope the girls can deliver a good match. I don't think it's going to be a 20-minute masterpiece. I don't think it's going to be even a 15-minute, as JR would say, slobber knocker. I think it's going to be a solid 10 to 12 minutes. I think the ladies are going to hopefully deliver a good match.
Yeah.
As far as who wins, though, I think Becky Lynch wins here.
Yeah, she needs to win more.
Heels can always bounce back from a loss. The faces really need to win here.
Yeah.
My pick for match of the night, and I believe it will be your pick for match of the night too, Mike, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, the supposed end-all, be-all end of their feud.
It won't be.
It won't be. But these guys have wrestled each other for years. They've worked together for years. They both can deliver 5-star matches with one another. This is your match of the night by far. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think these guys are going to go at it for at least 20 minutes. Even a half an hour.
I want to point out, I've seen these guys wrestle in one form or another each other over the various stages of different years, and it's yet to get old. It's not like Cena Orton. Because, like, what Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens do, they're great wrestlers. They have great matches, yes. Like, they're very talented in
ring. And they have great ring psychology.
Yeah, like, the emotion is there in the match.
And the build-up for this match couldn't be any better, too, if I'm being honest. As far as booking goes, now that they're both going to be on Raw, I originally thought it was going to be Kevin Owens, but I think Sami Zayn's going to pull out the win here.
No, I think Kevin Owens wins.
Well, we again will agree to Kevin, why is that?
Kevin Owens, I think, is a guy who's very close to getting a main event push, like going from upper mid card to main event with as good as he's been doing Raw. He's going to be like a dark horse for that. And Sami Zayn's a recent addition. So Kevin Owens is the one who needs to win the feud, especially since Sami Zayn's been getting more pins against Kevin Owens and victories against him lately. So to make the balance it out, I think Kevin Owens wins this match, and they go on to different feuds. And again, from a logistics standpoint, Kevin Owens, I mean, Sami Zayn needs to win too, but to progress up in the card, Kevin Owens needs it.
If this is the end-all, be-all, final act of their feud, as they're billing it to be, I think with what I've seen on the main roster, it's been all Kevin Owens, and I think Sami Zayn comes off in the final act and pulls up the last-minute victory. That's just what I think. But we will see, and one thing that, Mike, you and I can absolutely agree on as far as this match goes, it will be your match of the night.
Oh, it's going to be a barn burner.
It's going to be – you're going to need a really bad match to put in between this and the next match. You're going to need a burner match.
You're going to need two buffer matches, one between this and the next match, we're going to say, and one between that match and the title match.
Next match on the card, Enzo and Cass with John Cena versus The Club.
Again,
huge match here.
Now notice, there's multiple feuds going into this pay-per-view that have been fleshed out. Like, that's fantastic.
You have Styles and Cena, great feud going there. Enzo and Cass, newcomers to the game, but boy, can they deliver both on mic and in the ring. Bright future for Enzo and Cass. And you have the established veteran heels with Gallows and Anderson. Can't wait to watch this. I think if Owens and Cena, I'm sorry, if Owens and Zayn isn't your match of the night, this is my pick for sleeper cell match of the night. Let's just say that. As far as who wins, I think it's obvious Cena, Enzo, and Cass are going to get the win here.
Yeah, what they're going to do, though, is they're going to protect everyone involved, the main guys involved. So it'll be Cena getting a measure of revenge on AJ Styles in the club. But like, it's not going to be AJ Styles taking the fall. It's going to be Gallows or Anderson. Probably
agreed.
And probably at the hands of Big Cass. Because I know they want to start setting him up. I've heard they actually want to eventually groom him to face and beat Brock Lesnar.
I don't blame him.
That might start with this.
So here we go. And your main event of the evening. What, Mike, you and I have said several times throughout the months on this program and even off air before we even started doing Brain Stew Wrestling, this should be WrestleMania 33's main event.
But hey, you know what? It's like Christmas come early.
Christmas has definitely come early. I hate saying the hack term, but Christmas came in July. Your WrestleMania-worthy main event, triple threat between all former members of The Shield, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, for the WWE Championship. I can't say WWE World Heavyweight Championship because it's not called that anymore, for the WWE Championship.
We got the guy versus the man versus the dude. What I like too is now we can say that all three members of the Shield have been champion,
which end all be all, that's what makes us happier more than anything. I love the fact that all three members of the Shield have had major success in singles competition. I love the fact that they're all fan favorites, and I especially love that all three of these guys are main eventing a pay-per-view together. Look, I knock Roman Reigns's. We both knock Roman Reigns's in-ring abilities and his promo skills, which they are justified. He's not as good as everyone thinks he is, but he came from a stable. He was the powerhouse in the stable. We loved him in the Shield. We saw him grow up in WWE, and now he's a main eventer. And I'm happy for him. I like Roman Reigns. I've always liked Roman Reigns. And to see the Shield together in the same ring, except they're all opponents, this match is going to be awesome to watch. The question is, though, with Dean Ambrose going to SmackDown, who wins the championship? Does Ambrose retain and bring the title to SmackDown? Which, to be honest, I'll just give my pick right there. I think Ambrose wins, takes it to SmackDown, and Raw brings back the World Heavyweight Championship.
I think Rollins wins the title. They're going to go with Rollins as the guy on Raw. They're going to give him the title. And then I think leading up to the next SmackDown pay-per-view or to SummerSlam, there's going to be a tournament for a SmackDown world title. Apparently they're not bringing back the big gold belt. They might do like the Raw title being both titles are the same. The Raw one has like a red background. The SmackDown has a blue background.
So they're just going to call it the SmackDown Championship?
No, it'll be like maybe the World Heavyweight Championship, but that's what the belt's going to look like. It's not going to be the big gold belt.
Oh, so why? I love the big gold belt. It's the best looking championship in wrestling.
So, I don't know. I'm preferential to the old school Eagle title, but...
Me too, but WWE can put any design they want because they own the rights to all those championships.
Yeah.
So...
My actual favorite title design is the old school Intercontinental title that look that they're going with now that they went back to.
I mean, it's the basis of our logo. I mean, look at the top left of the screen, top right of your screen. Like, there's the IC title. The logo's based off of. So you think that Raw is going to have the WWE Championship and Raw is going to have the main championship there?
And then SmackDown's going to have what they're going to call the World Heavyweight Championship.
See, I'm disagreeing only because look at what happened in the past when they did this. The SmackDown had the WWE Championship and Raw had the World Heavyweight Championship, and that was billed as the championship. So does WWE make that same, my opinion, mistake again? Or do they correct themselves and say, okay, this is the WWE championship. This is the championship in this company. This is what everyone should strive for. It should be on the flagship show, Monday Night Raw.
Let's be honest, no matter what title's on Raw, that's going to be considered the main belt. Just like the way it was when before Cena won the title against JBL, the main title was whatever world titles on Raw.
All right, so you're going to disagree with me then if I ask this. So if Ambrose wins, retains a title, and brings it to SmackDown, you disagree with me then if Raw is the show that brings back the World Heavyweight Championship and makes that the prominent championship.
Now, there's also one wrinkle we're forgetting. Dean Ambrose might have to defend it against people from both shows if he retains. Or whoever wins the title.
No, I disagree. I think whichever show has the WWE Championship, that the championship is going to stay on that show, and one show is going to have the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, why else would you stop calling? Why else would you randomly stop calling it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
Remember though, when they first did the brand extension, where they split both shows initially, the WWE Champion. Defended against people from both shows. And then they did a storyline thing where Stephanie signed an exclusive deal with Lesnar, who was champion at the time, and then they had to bring the big gold belt to Raw.
We can speculate all we want, but this is the first main event. Let's be real here, Mike. This is the first main event in a very long time where we really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. I think Rollins wins.
I mean, we're going to be happy if Rollins and Ambrose win. If Rollins or Ambrose win, we'll be slightly upset. Slightly is an understatement here. We'll be pretty bummed if Roman Reigns comes back and wins. Because that's Vince's choice. That's Vince's guy.
That will set too bad of an example for them to actually do it.
Exactly, because he violated the policy. He violated the policy. He should not get the championship. I mean, what does that say to the other talent? They need to make an example out of it. So for that reason, I don't think Roman Reigns wins. So it's either Rollins or Ambrose. I still am maintaining that Ambrose retains and keeps it on SmackDown, and Raw brings back the World Heavyweight Championship. You think Rollins wins, brings the championship to Raw, and SmackDown brings back the World Heavyweight Championship.
Exactly.
So there you have it. There are our picks for Battleground. It's going to be... The card looks great. I'm very excited for this. And I'm looking forward to the results. Let's just say that. I'm looking forward to watching this on Sunday. And I look forward to talking about this on Wednesday for our Battleground post... I don't want to say game. Post pay-per-view show. How about
I will
that?
Say, this is my most looked forward to Battleground in a long time, because you got Owens versus Zayn, which is always, let's be honest, amazing. The Cena and Enzo and Cass versus the Club, and then the main event. So it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a very excellent pay-per-view. I honestly, Mike... Would it be fair to say that we're looking forward to this more than the big one, WrestleMania?
I would say, I mean, WrestleMania is an event you watch regardless, but I would say that's a possibility.
I mean, strictly speaking, not as a whole show, it is a spectacle or nostalgic purposes. Looking forward to Battleground just from a card perspective, like the matches themselves. I'm looking more forward to this than I did at WrestleMania as far as matches go.
And as far as WrestleMania versus this goes, like with this pay-per-view, I'm not going to be worrying about having to alternate between WrestleMania and Battleground and the Walking Dead season 6 finale like I did during WrestleMania.
Right.
Because some genius on either side said, hey, that's a good day to put this episode.
I just can't wait. I cannot wait for Battleground. It's going to be great. Final plugs, Mike.
At Hipster Punchy on the Twitters, and more stuff coming soon.
more stuff coming soon. All right. And I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at BSR Wrestling on Twitter. He is Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am, again, at Hams Gruber on Twitter. And also on Snapchat and Instagram. Give us a follow. Follow at Brain Stew Radio. We had the by the way, we had the debut of the High Spot podcast today on Brain Stew Radio, on the Brain Stew Radio Network. So download their show. There's a lot of new shows coming up on the Brain Stew Radio Network. We're trying to get the network going. We're gonna have a lot of great programming for you guys in the coming weeks and months. So keep following at Brain Stew Radio. We will see you on Wednesday night to discuss the results of Battleground. He is Mike. I am Hammy. Have a excellent night. See you guys next week.